This podcast is brought to you by Towncast Studios. What's Towncast Studios? Why, that's a great question. Towncast Studios is all about creating hyper-local content. Podcasts, video, social media, blogs, and more, telling the stories and sharing the sounds and the sights and the views and the opinions of your community. Imagine a podcast highlighting the new restaurant that just popped up in the neighborhood, or a YouTube video showcasing the redesigned kids' playground near your home, or someone who's sharing all that really important information that came out of the school board meeting, or a place where your mayor or town council are telling you what's new, what's exciting, what's changing, what's under construction, so that you can stay informed. And just imagine having a place where you know what's going on from voices that you can trust. Now imagine you were that trusted voice. Here at Towncast Studios, we're going to help you launch, edit, produce, and publish content that will tell the stories of your community, or what we're calling Towncast. So if you're interested in learning more about how to Towncast or what a Towncast is, head on over to towncaststudios.com or check out our new Towncast podcast at towncastpodcast.com and get started telling the stories of your community today.
Welcome back to the Towncast podcast. My name is Towncast Joe. Today, Matthew Passy, our founder, sits down with the two gentlemen who created the Scarlet Spotlight podcast, a podcast which I understand focuses on local sports. Matthew, is that right?
Not just local sports, but here in New Jersey, Rutgers University sports. And the interesting thing about the Scarlet Spotlight podcast is, even though it's all about athletics at a Rutgers University, and not just basketball and football, the big ones, but they really tackle everything. Soccer, wrestling, they talk to the men's and the women's sports evenly. Like, they really are just Rutgers fanatics. But the best part about the Scarlet Spotlight as a podcast is that neither one of these gentlemen currently live in New Jersey. So they are covering this from afar, but they are super passionate about it. And I should also say they are also clients of the podcast consultant, but I've, you know, have been excited to work with them since day one on this project. They do an amazing job. And some of the things that they share in this that are a little bit interesting, a little bit different, are the relationships that they've built and kind of like why they've been able to find success. And part of the reason they were able to find so much success is because they were trying to take on a topic, a subject matter, an institution that just doesn't get the kind of coverage it deserves because it doesn't have the support of major media, right? Rutgers University kind of sits in between Philly and New York. Neither one of it really cover it with any gusto. And so there's a big opening for them to say, well, we're going to talk about it. And because they were one of the first to do it, they get access to everybody that they want to talk to at Rutgers University from the athletic department. And beyond. And now, honestly, because of their efforts, there have been a bunch of copycats who have popped up. So listen, if sports is your thing and you want to do it about your favorite institution, high school, college, even your pro sports team could still use maybe some better content creators. I think Danny and John are just a fantastic example of how you can do towncasting well when it comes to sports.
Absolutely. And I think it's really cool that they are not even located in the area that they're covering. And so that's just one more of the beauties of podcasting and towncasting, even, is that you can speak to a community that maybe you were a part of in the past, but you still know and love, and you still want to stay connected with those people and those places from that area. So let's listen to John and Danny from Scarlet Spotlight.
Very excited on the show. We have Danny Breslauer and John Newman, hosts of the Scarlet Spotlight. And if you're thinking to yourself, what is the Scarlet Spotlight? Well, obviously, you don't know anything about the great Rutgers University out of central New Jersey. Danny Breslauer and John Newman host the Scarlet Spotlight, all about all Rutgers athletics all the time. Both of them are alumni, heavily involved with the school, avid fans. Maybe rabid is a better word for the kind of fanship that they show. But we are excited to talk to them here today on the show. Danny and John, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thanks so much.
So you guys both went to Rutgers. You were both involved in the school in lots of different ways on top of being students from there. But why did you decide at some point that you wanted to do a podcast focused just around athletics from Rutgers University?
We're looking back now. We're 108 episodes in. We started this about 4 years ago. And I think it was just at that point, there was no ongoing podcast about Rutgers sports. I think we started a trend because a lot of others followed. I had known Danny, even though we have a fairly wide age gap, I had known Danny from the work he did while he was a student at Rutgers, and then he was a broadcaster for women's basketball afterwards, and we had sort of reconnected and thought he would be the perfect person to sort of conspire with on this. And our goal was to really make it guest-focused. And Rutgers doesn't have a really good history of celebrating its history. And the ability to, and as we're looking back now, all those episodes in, really have and create a sort of audio history over time with, you know, people currently involved, but also we've gone way back and talked to a lot of, you know, former student athletes who've gone on and done bigger and better things. And really create that sense of, if you're a fan of Rutgers of any era, there's going to be an episode that you're going to be interested in, because we're very guest-driven. We also talk about current day stuff. We have a section on the end called the Scarlet Spotlight where we focus on current sports. But I think we, you know, that was the rationale behind it. It's like, what can we do to really have and create this really good audio history while still focusing on what fans are most interested in today?
Yeah. And to that end, I mean, I think in addition to getting the guest-based interviews, we realized that eventually the podcast itself was going to be used in a variety of ways, not just as a way to spotlight those particular people who have either had a part in the history of the program or current events, but that now, as college athletics has changed so immensely, really, in the 4 years since we started the show, there is a lot that we have done with it. Name, image, and likeness deals that are now being a part of our collective, which Knights of the Raritan just launched. And I'm joking that it's sort of shoulder programming for the Scarlet Spotlight in a way, but it has extended deeper into the Rutgers community than either John or I could have expected in 2018.
So I definitely want to talk more about what you've gotten from the show as a result of doing this, all the relationships you've built, you know, the success that you've had with it. But going back to why you launched it, and I think what is going to make this such a compelling conversation for folks thinking about localized podcasts is that part of the gap in the coverage for Rutgers sports is that it's wedged right in between two of the biggest media markets, New York and Philadelphia, and neither of which really gives Rutgers a ton of airplay, right? It's not super easy to find. They're rarely on nationally televised games and things like that. And certainly when you get outside of the main sports that we're all accustomed to seeing on television, right, basketball and football, there's really very little coverage whatsoever outside of maybe some local radio doing Rutgers coverage. So is that part of what the impetus was for this, was to kind of bring in coverage for a school that has such a large alumni group and a large interest, but doesn't really have a real centralized media wing to it?
Let me start by answering your question in a few different ways. First of all, was that an initial impetus for launching the podcast? I don't think so. I don't think that's what John and I originally looked at as like the way we were trying to spread the wings of the Rutgers brand, if you will. And I fully... You're taking the South Jersey tack specifically, Matthew, about lack of coverage for the team nationally. If you don't have Big Ten Network in your cable package, and it really does depend based on where you are in the state, I can fully respect how somebody might say that Rutgers is not on nationally televised games. You know, they're not on ESPN. They're not on whatever network somebody normally goes to find college sports. If you do have Big Ten Network, essentially every major game is available to you on a national level. So that's what I would say there. John and my focus in, let's call it late 2017, when we really started the planning for this, was Rutgers was not doing a good enough job of promoting itself from highlighting the people that had accomplished so much after having been there. Telling those stories to alumni and then getting them, Matthew, more engaged based on what you're saying, 500,000 living alumni, they need to be more engaged, not just financially, but also just generally evangelizing in public, having the more, for lack of a better phrase, cult-like mentality of a Michigan or Penn State is not what we were looking for, but we were trying to get people more galvanized. And I think John would agree that that was sort of our focus for the launch of the podcast. And we knew through the hyper-local relationships that we had, mine at the current day, Rutgers Athletic Department, John with some of the generation before figures in the athletic department as well, that we could get some really interesting guests on a biweekly basis.
You know, I think you're right. You know, this is what I would call New Jersey, New York primary audience that's going to be really interested in this, maybe a little bit, obviously, down into the Philly area. And, you know, and our statistics sort of bear that out. And these are stories that, for whatever reason, haven't been told or retold, you know, over time. And I think the feedback that we've gotten in a lot of cases has been, thank you so much. You know, we've heard, you know, we sort of heard that story a little bit before, but it's very different, as you know, seeing a story in print and hearing the story coming directly out of the mouth of the interviewee. And they're going to add a lot more color. They're going to add a lot more personality. I can't tell you how many times we've heard, I don't think I've ever told anybody this. And there's been a lot of that that's come out in, you know, they may have retold the story, but there's always been that extra little bit, you know, I don't think I've ever told anybody this, or there was this extra little thing that adds that little spice that I think our, you know, local, very hyper-focused listenership, you know, has really appreciated over time that they really didn't get before. And that's been a great offshoot about what we've done over the last 4 years.
And I think to your point, and this is going to work well for other folks who are thinking about hyper-local content, whether it's college sports or maybe even high school sports to an extent, right? There's not a ton of people coming in and, you know, wanting to interview the team, wanting to interview the coaches, wanting to interview the AD and things like that. And so when you ask, right, it's a lot easier for them to say yes because they want access. They want people to hear their stories. They want to talk.
I think a New Jersey high school sports podcast would crush it. I know the NJ.com guys at the Star Ledger do some of that, you know, in soccer season or lacrosse season or what have you, for some of the niche sports beyond football and basketball. And you might see it for MyCentralJersey.com, which is the amalgamation of the Gannett properties, Home News, and the Asbury Park Press. But they just don't have the digital chops that Matthew Passy, the podcast consultant, does to make these kind of things happen. And I think it's shown in the digital content that they end up putting out, and they just don't have the resources to do it. So I think if somebody did have the time commitment and connections to go out and do a deep dive South Jersey, you know, Cape May conference podcast, whatever it might be, that they would certainly have a built-in listenership for that.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess it wouldn't even have to be a whole statewide, right? You can just go to your county, your high school's division that they're working in, and just cover that area, get a lot of access, get a lot of coverage.
Exactly. Conference podcasts would do really well. I got, whether it's Burlington Conference, Cape May Conference, whatever it might be.
And the other thing about that, too, there are businesses in those areas that if you're looking for sponsors, I think are probably some low hanging fruit. I mean, they're not going to write big checks, but by the same token, if you get a couple of $100 for somebody to underwrite you, you know, they love to be associated with the local product, especially being seen as someone who's supporting the effort of bringing those stories to life, you know, whether they're like sub shops, pizza shops, you know, the local accountants, you know, those types of folks, especially parents with kids that go to those high schools and want those stories told. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity there.
And Matthew, as you know, the New Brunswick Development Corporation underwrites our podcast in large part because they're deeply involved in the Rutgers community. And that could be the case for a local business, to John's point. It doesn't have to be a development corporation or chamber of commerce. It could be something far more granular.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are definitely getting ahead, because I was certainly going to ask you about the opportunity for monetization and sponsorships with those local advertisers. But right, any of those kinds of names that you would often see on the back of, you know, a kid's Little League jersey or a soccer jersey, or, you know, maybe on the billboards on the outfields of the stadiums and the fields, right? Those are the kinds of businesses that want to show their support. And yeah, they're not going to turn you into a billionaire podcaster, but they are going to lend their support. They're going to pick up some of those costs that you might have in producing it, your travel time, your production, your hosting, whatever. And then on top of everything else, like, if they really care, they also might help you to promote, right? Like, why not have that sponsor or that little pizza shop or whoever put a little flyer on their inside their shop that says, proud sponsor of the Scarlet Spotlight podcast. Here's a QR code, right? Encourage people to check it out. So certainly, you know, you're not going to pull the same kind of money you would with a Purple Mattress kind of a sponsor, but you could certainly get sustained support and extra benefits from it. So I want to go back just a little bit more because we were talking a little bit about access, right? So you get access to these athletes and the coaches and the ADs and the executives and all these different folks who want to talk to you about Rutgers sports. But on top of what you get for the podcast, have you guys gotten any additional access or perks, right? I'm thinking about people who, you know, don't realize that being a podcaster or a videocaster means you might be able to apply for like press credentials and get access to events that you might not have been able to get access to before.
If we wanted to, there's no doubt in my mind that John or I could apply for a press credential under that mechanism. John and I happen to be season ticket holders to the main sports as it is, so we're not going in via that.
Yeah, we're sort of like these interesting hybrids, right? Where for us, it's been, I don't know if we wanted to cross that bridge because we're also season ticket holders, donors. You know, we wanted to keep the sort of fan aura to this as opposed to media. Although I will tell you, over time, we're viewed by people more as media with our podcast hats on. And that's, you know, sometimes that's great. Sometimes that's a little bit of a double-edged sword. And we appreciate that. You know, we wanted this to be something that would sort of elevate and educate. You know, we've had some interesting folks on that have great and interesting jobs that are underappreciated within athletics that I think we've had a chance to educate people about. And there are others who have blogs or podcasts that have crossed the media chasm, so to speak. So I think there's opportunities there always for people that want that. We've sort of always wanted to straddle that line a little bit because was my goal to be like, I want to represent the fan in this that always had the question. I mean, there have been some guests over times that both of us have been basically fanboys of the folks that we've had on as guests. And I want to approach it like that so that I'm sort of representing the other fans out there who were fanboys of that particular player or that particular coach, as opposed to being a member of the media that was asking questions in that vein.
But we have had to not step in a weird position, but have broken some news over time. Like, you know, Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, came on, and this was really height of COVID. We're talking July of 2020, June of 2020. And he broke news on our podcast that they weren't going to allow fans at Rutgers football games that fall. And Rutgers was not prepared at that time to announce that news. And so when we taped with Governor Murphy on a Friday, and I believe, Matthew, you were preparing it over the weekend for a Monday drop, we started getting calls and texts from the PR folks within Rutgers Athletics about, you know, what was said. Should we have a press release ready? What's going on? So we have a couple of times needed to toe that line.
So let's talk about this new project, Knights of the Writing Room. Tell us what it's about and how that came about as a result of the podcast.
We wear a lot of different hats, as we've talked about. We wear the fan hat, the donor hat, the podcast hat. There are a lot of different Rutgers hats we wear. And going back to the middle of last year, the name, image, and likeness rules and laws that were, quote unquote, in effect from the NCAA that would allow student athletes to profit from their name, image, and likeness were lifted. You know, years and years, there were, you know, Geo Baker, who is, you know, was the star guard at Rutgers, was one of the key figures on a national level, lobbying for that to be lifted. And all of a sudden, it gets lifted and the Wild Wild West happened. So the first thing we thought of was, and we historically did not go after current student athletes as guests. There's a lot of, you know, issues related to that, access. You know, you never know when you could have access to those folks. So we stayed away from that. But we thought NIL would be a great opportunity for us to reach out through Rutgers to the student athletes and create two deals, one with Geo Baker for obvious reasons, and one with Isaiah Pacheco, who's the star running back at Rutgers. And these deals would be not just one-offs, but we would have X number of appearances over the course of the season so we could sort of tell an ongoing story. So we reached out to them, but to Rutgers, and through that, we found out that Rutgers, because of state laws that were enacted, because the NCAA really didn't give them guidance, Rutgers was supportive of the student athletes getting deals, but wouldn't facilitate those deals. So we had to reach out to, you know, we got email addresses. We reached out to Isaiah and Gio directly. We did those deals. But that was interesting to me in particular and to us. And then probably like 2 months later, October, November, we started seeing the proliferation of these NIL collectives, which are third-party groups affiliated with a specific school, usually a donor or a series of donors, that in essence would collect money and then work out third-party deals, especially in situations where the schools were not able to facilitate. You know, the big schools were involved, the Texases, the Florida States, the Alabamas, the Kentuckys. And very quickly, it was like, okay, you can see the train coming through the tunnel that eventually, if the big boys were doing it, and Rutgers, unfortunately, has a history of not being an early adopter, Rutgers could be left behind in this ability to retain student athletes first, but also attract student athletes because other schools had pots of money that would be available to them and Rutgers wouldn't.
And I will say the podcast has become an important educational mechanism for the collective because education around NIL and what it means both for the fan and the athlete and really college sports at large, I think it's a huge piece of it. And to that end, we were able to have our partner in this, Jason Belzer, on our last podcast, episode 107. And I've been told by many how important that was as an educational experience for them so that they could understand what their role in the collective should be going forward.
So, you know, long story short, we took a 6 month time period where we said, are we going to do this? Can we do this? It was very clear we couldn't do this because we have day jobs and some of us have day jobs and podcasts to produce. And we ended up putting a group together and we have a third party that Danny mentioned, Jason Belzer, who's one of the experts in this very new field of name, image and likeness. And he is the one that's handling a lot of the sort of back end stuff, all of the legal, accounting, logistics, all those types of things. But Danny's right. I mean, you know, people see us with a lot of different hats because we become known because of the podcast. That has gotten us some level of acceptance in the quote unquote community. So when they saw us affiliated with this, and we have six or seven other folks that are also part of our executive committee, there was at least some level of trust built at that time. And we still have to educate because it's a very sort of new and somewhat controversial view of how athletics, especially in the college level, is going to play out over time. But I think the podcast has been and will continue to be a vehicle for us to educate and maybe break news from time to time. Given the listenership that we have, we know that there is an opportunity for us to mine that listenership for memberships in the collective, you know, so we're sort of mixing and matching for our sort of mutual benefit on both those projects.
Would you say that your relationships have helped you grow the podcast or the podcast has helped to grow the relationships? Like, what would you say was kind of key to both the success of your show as far as building the audience, right? You said there've been a lot of copycats since then and you're friendly with a lot of them and, you know, do a lot of cross promotional stuff with them, but also these opportunities. Like, what do you think were some of the key ways that you were able to grow and get this stature that you have now with the show?
The answer is both. Our existing relationships helped grow the podcast in its early days because it got us some high profile guests that I don't think many other podcasts on day one could have gotten. The secondary component is that our additional personal and professional networks have grown because of the podcast itself. So the answer is our existing relationships grew the podcast in its early days, and we've grown our own existing professional networks because of the podcast's later days.
Yeah, and we, because we knew the Rutgers sort of ecosystem, we knew the best places to promote, right? So there are various Facebook groups, there are some websites with fan boards. We created separate social media accounts, but we both had on our personal accounts a lot of Rutgers followers. So we leveraged all of those and continue to this day. Those are the main channels through which we promote individual episodes. And we know the places that people go to get information. So that's how we've really sort of grown listenership, sort of the nuts and bolts, how we grow listenership at the time. You know, depending on who the guest is and what sport they're affiliated with, we could pretty much predict what kind of download numbers we have. Danny doesn't like this, but football rules the day pretty much. So if we have a football-related guest, we know we're going to have a tick up in listeners.
Probably about 25% difference from an average guest.
Yeah, the stature of the guest. But that being said, we know, and we've had guests on from the Olympic sports, and we view that just as important, even though the numbers on those episodes are lower. But over time, what we also find is, as people discover us, you know, Matthew, there are days where I can see one person downloading all 107 and 108 episodes because they've discovered us and they will go back and want to listen to stuff from like 3 or 4 years ago, which amazes me. So even 4 years in, we're getting more people discovering us and being really interested in the interviews, because some of them, even though they might have happened a couple of years ago, are incredibly timeless. You know, interviews with like the former men's basketball coach from the 70s, Tom Young, you know, that interview is going to hold up over time. Interviews with the late athletic director, former athletic director, Bob Mulcahy, those hold up over time. Some of them are very time sensitive, and some of them will hold up because we're talking about things that happened, you know, decades ago that people still want the blanks filled in on, so to speak.
And this week's episode is Bobby Brownlee, who was an ace pitcher for Rutgers 20 years ago, Edison native, who was a first-round MLB draft pick. And we're bringing him on for multiple reasons. One, great name. Two, just joined the Knights of the Raritan Advisory Board. And three, Rutgers baseball was just snubbed from the NCAA tournament. So it was very timely to have him on and talk through all of that last night, and we'll be dropping that on Friday. So there are some timeliness components that go into it, as John noted. Especially because of our drop cadence, breaking news is not something that we try to accomplish, but from time to time it does occur.
Going back some of your early days, I remember, I don't remember the exact promotion, but I remember you did some charitable donation around the podcast. It was like retweets or downloads or something where you would donate a certain amount. Do you remember what that was and how much of an impact that made?
Yeah, we did a collab during COVID with the Are You Screw podcast, who's a trio of buddies of mine from college who literally started their podcast to clown me for starting my podcast. And then it turned into something that they love doing.
Nothing like clowning your friend to turn into a business, right?
Exactly. And so we did a collab with them on like a live Twitch stream with our podcast using it as an episode as well around the Middlesex County Food Bank, when folks were struggling to get food at the start of COVID because of lost jobs. And I think our fan bases, both the Scarlet Spotlight and the RU Screw Pod, really stepped up and provided what ended up being mid four-figure contribution to Middlesex County Food Bank and to the local businesses in New Brunswick that were providing free meals for healthcare workers.
And that's the other thing too. I think if there's already a podcast on your topic or something similar to it, don't be afraid to start your own, because what ends up happening is people develop different niches and different audiences within a certain larger audience. I mean, our listenership, I would venture to say, is more traditional, you know, Rutgers fans. Are You Screw is probably more for the younger. How would you? I don't want to insult those guys, Danny.
They're the alternative.
Scarlet Spotlight Light.
No, not light. No. They are the 90s grunge of podcasts. Yeah,
exactly. You know, there's a lot of satire there. There's a lot of other stuff in addition to Rutgers sports. So you can find your audience within a broader audience. So just because you see there's somebody out there doing what you think you're going to do, you can bring your own thinking to it, your own angle to it. And I think that's really important, because at the height of this, we probably sort of started it, although there have been podcasts way back that focused on Rutgers sports that have been off and on. But now, you know, there are probably four or five of them, including the ones that the media and fan boards do. And each one of them has its own different take. And if you have a passionate audience, they're going to listen to all of them probably, or they're going to self-select and listen to the ones that they like because it's what speaks to them. So, you know, don't be discouraged when you see, when you do your due diligence, like, oh, somebody's doing that already. They're not going to do it the way you do it. And you can listen to them and figure out the ways to differentiate yourself. And I think that's really important.
So for all those folks who are thinking about a local podcast, sports related, not sports related, any other tips, advice, lessons learned, things that you would pass on to them that could give them a leg up, or mistakes that you made along the way that you can save them from making?
I stick to a format on a pretty neurotic basis. I mean, John and
I was going to use the word rigid,
obsessive, compulsive, whatever you want to go with.
Yeah. Neurotic is probably more accurate. Yeah.
And I think I would say have something like that to guide you, but don't be afraid to sort of throw wrinkles into it, whether that be drop cadence, whether that be content type, format. I know that you as a producer love the predictability of our format. It makes everyone's life easier for finding interviews, for finding the post segment. And I think to a degree, it makes the listener expect something too. They know where to find the interview. They know where to find the debate segment. So to that end, I would say create a format and make sure that it's still enjoyable for you, you know, every podcast you make. And when it isn't, you know, take a step back, maybe take a pause. There's sometimes we've had to refresh. I mean, John and I are involved in too many things together now. I think there's some stale moments for us as well that we've had to step back and figure out when's it right to move to the next topic.
I really like, at least for us, the fact that we're guest driven, because I think that's that drives a lot of the listenership. I know there are a lot of podcasts that are not that way. And my sense is, even though I've never been involved in one of those, it's harder to find a listenership if you can't get someone else to sort of get excited about what the topic is and, you know, really touch them in a more personal way. Also, getting your guests to promote it is really good, especially if they have a large following, whether it's on social or other audiences, that kind of thing. But I think Danny's right. I mean, there have been plenty of times I've hated the fact that we're like every other Monday, either at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, unless we can't get a guest or it just doesn't work out, or unless there's like an act of God that does make us, you know, hit that time. But having that, knowing that's coming, knowing that you can plan around that if you need to, I think that's been really important. The other thing I would say is at the very beginning, we thought we could do everything. Then we quickly realized we needed a producer because we weren't going to be able to handle all of the editing. The ability to have someone who knows what we're doing, that after we record a podcast, we can send files to, and then magically a couple of days later, you know, it appears back for us to quality control and we can upload it to our website and we can promote it ourselves, just makes it a lot easier. We, you know, if we had to do all the work, we wouldn't have gotten past like episode 2, you know. So having a third party that knows what they're doing, for me, has made our lives a lot easier. We wouldn't have done it if we didn't have that.
Very good. Well, we have been chatting with Danny Breslauer, John Newman, hosts, creators of the Scarlet Spotlight, now the Knights of the Raritan. Gentlemen, a pleasure to chat with you. Pleasure to have you on, and wishing you continued success.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Towncast Podcast. I'm Joe Gangemi, aka Towncast Joe. And on behalf of Matthew Passy and everyone here at Towncast Studios, we appreciate your support. With the Towncast Podcast, we hope to provide value to you, the listener, by educating, entertaining, and enlightening on the potential of what podcasting and towncasting can be. We really believe it can change the world for the better. If you want to keep up with Towncast, you can subscribe to the Towncast Podcast so you don't miss an episode. You can also connect with us on social, and feel free to send us a message anytime via towncastpodcast.com. So, I'll see you on the next one, Towncasters. Until then, keep on sharing the sounds of your community.